you turn with us to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 529. Book of Ezra. If God's been good to you this week, say amen.
Amen.
If you need something from the Lord today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Book of Ezra. You'd stand with us for the honor and the reading of the Word of God today. Found the book of Ezra, chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The book of Ezra takes up the children of Israel from the Babylonian captivity. Their temple has been destroyed. The Babylonians has come and got the people of God and took them to their homeland, away from their homeland. And God does something that is very important in the Bible. He used a heathen king. He says this in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia," they knew very little about God, "that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah," who was he? Oh, he was a weeping prophet. He's one that suffered and paid a great price of one of our forefathers. He kept standing on the word of God. You'll find Jeremiah weeping. You'll find him in dungeons for preaching the word of God. And here he speaks a word. He says, "By the mouth of Jeremiah, that it might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in a writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea." You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for the good grace of God and how good you've been to it. Thank you for this place that we can come together today and worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for these families. Lord, many folks here have needs. May you take us away from this place and your place a few moments today and help us and give us that we need. Help us in the preaching this morning. Touch each need that's been mentioned. God, I pray you'd help them this week in this pathway of life. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. You'll notice that within this text, the Lord has sent King Cyrus a word from Jeremiah. As King Cyrus received this word, there's some things that started to happen. You'll notice in the book of Ezra that in chapter 3, verse 1, that the people came together as one man to Jerusalem. You know, we're not going to get anything done divided. But we can do great and mighty things with our Lord when we get together. And so the Bible said that the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. "Then stood up Joshua, the son of Josedech, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren," and look what they done. They builded the altar of the God of Israel. Now, there's a couple of things before we get started this morning. You'll notice that, first of all, word had to come. I'm glad that preaching's still available in this day and this hour. I'm glad our Bible's not out of date. This crazy world say, throw your Bible away. But let me tell you, honey, this Bible's going to stand when the world is a-burning. And so the word of the Lord came by the mouth of Jeremiah and began to stir the heart of the king. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing today if we could leave here and our heart has been stirred by the king. And so we see their heart was stirred, but then they done something. When they came together as one man in chapter 3 and verse number 2, they builded the altar of the God of Israel. See, we're not going any place till we pray. They realized before they could ever get back what God wanted them to have of the temple, that the altar had to be repaired. You know, there's been great things done around the altar. Don't never belittle the altar. I'm thankful we have a God that bends His ears toward the altar. I'm glad we can come to Him and we can pray. The Bible says if we've sinned, we can confess those sins, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad we've got an altar that we can come to, that we can cling to. Glad we've got an altar that we can claim this morning. I want to remind you, you come here to Liberty Baptist Church, this altar is always open. Doesn't matter if it's singing, preaching. If you feel like the need to come, you come. And you'll not be criticized, you'll not be looked down upon, but you'll probably have some people to pray with you. Thank God for the altar this morning. My life's been rearranged by the altar of God. My family's been raised around the altar of God. I gave vows to my wife of 42 years around an altar. My babies have been saved around an altar. The altar is very important, and we better realize we must never lose the claims of the altar at the house of God. And so here they repaired that altar. And then in verse 8, there's a word there I'd like to preach out of this morning. The Bible said now when they got this altar repaired in the second year, they're coming to the house of God in Jerusalem. In the second month begins Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josedek. And here's our phrase, and the remnant of their brethren. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for the goodness of God. Help us now to preach a few moments to be a blessing to your people. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here this word is mentioned that not only did the people come together, not only was their altars repaired, but there was a remnant that came and they began to do the work at the house of God. This remnant is mentioned several times in our Bible. It's just not an Old Testament term, but you'll find in the book of Romans, chapter number 11 and verse number 5, we find this word that is given truth again about a remnant. Romans chapter number 11 and in verse number 5, let's see what the Bible says. Even so then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. The remnant. A lot of people have wondered with this Bible term, what is a remnant? Well, this morning I have some remnants that are with me. Could we take these remnants and bring an illustration of where we were, who we are, and where we're going? But here there was a remnant in Ezra's day. But the Bible teaches us that there is a remnant in our day, in the church age. What is a remnant? First of all, let's take a look at this remnant this morning, the look of the remnant. What is a remnant? A remnant, it simply means it's a portion that remains after the main part no longer exists. A remnant is something that's not used very much. It doesn't have a lot of value in this world's eyes. It's pretty much just old rags that's been thrown away. And so here these, look of these remnants, you'll notice they're all different colors, they're different sizes, they're different sorts. But they are remnants. They are pieces that are left. I wonder, has anybody ever found a time in your life when you felt like that you might not have a whole lot, but you're thankful for what is left? Amen. And so here this look of this remnant, we see that it was discarded. Not many people have a need for a remnant. You'll notice not only were they discarded, but Brother Jamie, they were distorted. They were tore. They had a lot of rough edges upon them. And then you'll notice they were discolored. Many are so faded. You know, I want to say something to the religious crowd this morning. But before you go to looking down on all these remnants, all these things that nobody else wanted, I want to remind you what the Lord had to say about us. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and in verse number 11. I'm going to read this morning before I get into the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, let's get verse number 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators or adulterers or idolaters nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here it is in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, I've done a lot of things that I'm not real proud of this morning. I won't give the devil 30 minutes to tell you the sad and the terrible and the ugly past that I've had. But I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad my sins are gone. The devil reminds me a lot of my past many times. But I keep going to verses like this. And such were some of you, but you are washed. I'm glad that I've been under the cleansing fountain of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on Calvary's cross, shed His blood for sinners. And I'm glad this morning that I have a life now that has been changed, born from above by the Spirit of God. Now Christ by the Holy Spirit lives within me. I'm glad this morning that we can all recognize nobody's been perfect. We've all had a past, but honey, aren't you glad that such were some of you, but now you're washed. I'm glad this morning this look at this remnant. It was discarded. It was distorted. It was very discolored. And then I want to say something about these remnants that take me to my second point. Not only were these remnants discolored and disregarded, but they were disconnected. You know, before the Lord saved me and placed me in the body of Christ, and I joined the local church, I was so disconnected. I was like these remnants. I was just, all I had is what was left. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that you feel like this old remnant, you're just living with what is left? Can I tell you, God can give you more. And this morning, on this look of the remnant, I want to say, secondly, thank God there was a love for the remnant. Now, years ago, I'd preached this sermon at the church, and I was reminded this morning in my study to get this old quilt back out, and I want to share it with you today. You'll notice that these remnants, they was discolored, they was disregarded, and they were very disconnected. But I want you to look at what happened to some remnants. They were placed in a very beautiful object. And this morning, could we take and we look at these remnants, and can we look at this quilt, and can we realize, use this as a type of the local church or the family of God? Maybe you're here this morning like this. God can let you leave like this. Maybe this old world has done throwed you away, but the good grace of God can put you in the family of God and make something beautiful out of you this morning for His honor and His glory. Now there is the look of the remnant. There was a love for the remnant. I want to say, first of all, the love for this remnant, it was very much desired. It was desired. You know, I was raised by a country mama that sewed for the public. Any of you ladies now was to have to lay a pattern out on the table and cut that out, Lord help you, Jesus, all I know to say. But my mama, she sewed for the public. I can remember Miss Sherry, they would come, and Miss Brenda, they'd come, and my mother would measure them, and she'd get that pattern out, and she'd begin to make them. But I noticed as a little kid, I was probably about Sophie's age, and they had a place there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, called the Mill Inn. They sold bolts of material. We would go in there, and Brother Larry, I'd walk, and I'd follow my mother, and, you know, all those pretty bolts of material was up on the tables, and it showed you how much it was a yard. But my mama done something that's come up in this sermon a few times that's reminded me. She'd walk up to the counter, and you'd have to know my mother. She wasn't proud, but she was proud. She'd look around, see if anybody was a-staring, and she'd reach over that counter, Brother Adam, and she'd ask this lady, she said, I want to ask you a question, hon. Said, have y'all got any remnants? Any remnants? And see, what I knew that nobody else knew, mother didn't have the money to buy that nice piece of material, but
She looked around to be sure nobody was looking so she'd be ashamed. And she said, "Ma'am, do you have any of them remnants put back?" And I remember what she'd say, "Oh, Miss Christine, I've been a-saving them for you. And here's you a whole bag full. Aren't you glad that over 2,000 years ago at bloody Calvary, Jesus went and hung and He died for your sin and my sin. And He was interested in something that nobody else wanted. And He reached in the bag of life and pulled out a remnant by the good grace of God and put you in the family. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning my God's not ashamed to reach down way low and get that nobody wants this morning. I say hallelujah to the King of Glory today." Oh, there was a desire for those remnants. Everybody else would have simply threw them away. But not our God. He picked up what nobody else wanted. Reached down in the sack of life and began to pull us out. Seemed like nobody could use and nobody wanted. But aren't you glad that Jesus wanted you? And I tell you the reason He wanted you, because He went on an old rugged cross. He left the palace of heaven. He gave up everything that He had to get to these remnants, to just me and you. There was a love for these remnants. I don't know how far down low He had to reach to get you, but He had to reach pretty low to get me. And I sure am glad the big hand of grace reached in. Pulled me out of sack. You know something? These old remnants, they was, Brother Tim, they were in darkness. And I'm going to tell you something too that's amazing. These remnants were totally happy and satisfied till God, by the Holy Spirit, reached in and begin to deal with their heart. Reached down by His big old hand of love and pulled them out of that bag of life and placed them upon the table. There's the love for the remnant. They were desired. They were discovered. But they was disrupted. I'll never forget the day that Brother Elmer Kaysen come to my trailer on that Saturday. I was so happy. Gene, I was so content doing what I was doing, but he came in and he told me about Jesus. And when he left, I began to get troubled. He began to stir in my life. Oh, the love for these remnants, they were desired. They were discovered. They was disrupted. But don't never let the devil tell you no difference. They were delivered. Young people, I don't care what you've done or how long you've been a-doing it. Your life may look like this morning. But Brother Randall, by the grace of God, it looked like this. Amen. You see, there was the look of the remnant all in our Bible. There was a love for the remnant. Jesus reached down and picked us up. But lastly, there is the life of the remnant. What do these sowed in remnants say to us this morning? What do they say about the life of the remnant? Well, I want to say, first of all, it shows that they're nothing by themselves. We need each other. In the family of God, when I walk in here, not only do I see a church, not only do I see a flock, but I see a church that is united together by the great hand of our God that has placed us in the family. This life of the remnant, it displays that they're nothing by themselves. Let me ask you something. How do you make it without a church? How does people go through life with the heartaches and the pains and the failures and the disasters like this when they could go through like this? It's a big difference. You say, "Well, preacher, church isn't for me." Well, it wasn't for these remnants neither till the hand of the Master reached into where they was, began to bother them in their darkness and their uselessness,
and began to do something with them and for them. This life of the remnant, not only is it dependent, but it's designed. It's not good by itself, but others were brought together. And you know something at Liberty Baptist Church? The one that made this quilt, they had a design in mind. Miss Cora May was here today. I know she used to do some quilting, but everyone that's ever made one of these, they had a design in mind. When I look around at Liberty Baptist Church, can I tell you this is no accident? God had a design in mind. And God, He's took and He's placed every remnant in this quilt that has pleased Him. You see, He died for the sins of the whole world. You have responsibility to accept the Lord Jesus. But can I tell you today that at Liberty Baptist Church, God had a pattern in mind. And He's put us in the family of God. You see, as this life, as it speaks this morning, not only is it dependent, not only was it designed, but it was developed. Brother Mike, it took time to make this. This is something that's just not made overnight, but there were so many times that the pieces had to be flattened. The pieces had to be ironed. The pieces had to be cut. The pieces had to be so that they would fit in the family. You say, well, preacher, I can't believe how God is cutting and trimming me. Well, see, there's a particular place that He wants you to be at in the family. And oh, can I tell you, He makes those remnants to fit this morning. And so here, this life of these remnants, we see they were dependent, they were designed, they were developed, but they were displayed. You know something? It just looks good sewed together, don't it? I mean, it looks a whole lot better this way than this way. Then I got to thinking in closing this morning, what does this do? What does this do? Well, within this family of God, I want to say that it brings warmth to the person that enjoys it. You know, the other night, a lot of people say, I've even heard men get up and say, well, I don't need people. I do. I need the church. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and He died for the church. And can I tell you that the church brings warmth. Sailor Reese, the other night, she came to spend the night. Macy had her little backpack. She had her backpack on. And me and Renee got about bedded down, ready for bedtime. And she, Brother Adam, she got off the bed. And that child went and done something. It reminds me about this sermon this morning. She had on her little pajamas, had her hair bow out of her head. Somebody say me, and she was finally ready to bed down. She reached back and she run over that couch, Brother David. You know what she grabbed? She didn't grab that backpack. She reached over and she got her blankie. She run, she got up in our bed. And I got to thinking about the church this morning, how it brings warmth and how it brings comfort. You know, Miss Renee's got one of the prettiest pillowcase covers. The only time we ever fuss is when we're making up the bed. Somebody say amen. I mean, one little wrinkle, she's wanting me to straighten it out. I say, honey, we're just going to sleep in it tonight. Why are we doing all this morning? Shake your little hen-pecked head up and down this morning. But you know, the church, the family of God, not only brings warmth, but it brings great comfort. She had that blanket as security. And you can belittle this statement if you want to, but I need the church this morning because it brings me great security. Why? Watch this. You see, every one of these remnants that's been put in this blanket this morning, they're nothing by themselves. And when pressure is pulled on this, Brother Adam, would you pull on the end of this 1 second to sort of pull back? If you'll notice, it's not pulling on one remnant, it's pulling on all the remnants together. When you see people come around the altar and life is pulling on them. You'll notice when you're in the church, it's just not pulling on you, but it's pulling on others. I want to thank God this morning that I'm in the blanket of the church, and when hard times come to my house, it don't pull on this, but it pulls on this. I've noticed something else about this quilt when it's flattened. There's not a one piece of them can say, I'm prettier than the oven. There's none of them can look at the other remnants because they're all facing up. Can I tell you this morning, church, don't look around. Don't look at each other. Just keep looking up. Jesus is coming. Miss Sherry, come. I want her to play this morning. I want to think about this thought. We've had several people have been asked to pray. When you get that phone call, when you have that need, if you're not in the family of God, you're simply pulled by yourself. But when you're placed in the family, you have others that sure do help with the pull. They help with the pressure. Brother Lee, me and Brother David come by your house Friday. You was out working. We didn't stop. Didn't want to bother you. We came by and looked, and I began to think all across this building of the people in my life in this church that when Brother Adam pressures come, I don't have to go alone. Brother Adam, I've got others. And watch this, Brother Andy, they're sewed in. By the stitching of God. Brother Eldred on the back, I knew him over 30 years ago. We were acquainted where I worked with Pepsi. Brother Eldred's been a friend of my life. They started coming to our church, him and Miss Joyce, precious family. John, years ago, you taught me to play golf. Would go fishing. I was in this, and you was just a remnant. You'd never been saved. But God put you in here. Miss Gail, you got saved here one morning. You know, Thursday morning now, you're not going to go in there by yourself. It's going to be others that's praying. You don't have to have the pressure just put on you now. It's going on others. Brother Vince, I preached for a man this week, but you so impacted him. He said he and his wife stayed in the prophet chamber a couple of weeks ago and seen a car and come in. He said that you prayed with them. I'm glad I'm in the family this morning. Brother Mike, aren't you glad that we're not like this today? But we're like this. When life pulls on this one remnant now, it don't pull on just it, but it pulls on all the others that's sewed in with it. Can I tell you that Jesus loves you this morning? You may be just an old throwaway piece of cloth. But He loves you so much that He'd love to put you in this morning. The family of God sure does feel good to be in the family. I'm glad I'm in the family. Miss Sherry's going to...